Welcome back to the Voices of Veritas podcast. I'm Candace Pritz, Community Relations with Veritas Christian Academy, and I'm here today with Mrs. Karen Binfield, Veritas's registrar, and our college counselor, Mrs. Caroline Bullock. Today, they're going to be discussing with us how colleges view transcripts. Let's tune in to hear more about it.
I'm Caroline Bullock. I'm the college counselor here at Veritas.
And I'm Karen Binfield. I'm the registrar here at Veritas.
And we thought, as we tried to inform everyone on what transcripts are, definitions of all the words that we use to talk about transcripts, that we would take you on a journey through the high school experience here. So freshman year, sometime in the first 2 weeks of school, I visit the freshman class as the college counselor. It's not always the first time I've met them, but often it's a reintroduction. And I show them an empty transcript because that is what they have on those first 2 weeks of school. We show them where their grades will go and just encourage them that, oh my goodness, they matter now. Your grades matter now. I know a lot of parents like to tell their children that, but I think it's good for us to come before them and remind them. We also show them a few transcripts. I like to let them see a transcript of a student who has just done well in every class and taken everything that they could. And then a student whose transcript tells a different story, who maybe didn't figure it out until the end of freshman year and got themselves their grades up and moved on. They also learn in that time with me that the only grades on their transcript are their semester grades. Often I'll have students come by my office and with worrisome quarter grades, which it's right for them to worry. I never tell them not to, but it's also not on their official transcript. That worrisome quarter grade is something that gives them the opportunity to improve. So that's a big part of that conversation for me in their freshman year, is just that you now have the opportunity to put something on your permanent record that'll follow you for these years, that is going to be the beginning of your story as a high school student.
So Mrs. Bullock has talked with you about how you start out with a transcript your freshman year, and that's true. It's the first time that you will have grades that are recorded that will now go to your colleges at some point in time, your junior year, when you decide to apply. So that kind of leads us to the question about what exactly is on that transcript. What does it mean when folks talk about an official transcript or an unofficial transcript, weighted versus unweighted, cumulative versus yearly GPAs or grade point averages? What do those things mean? So before we move on, let's talk about terms really quickly. This is kind of breaking it down to the basics, but questions that we've had over the years. So we decided to talk about the difference in an unofficial and an official transcript. An official transcript is that transcript that comes from the school, that is signed by the registrar, that is sealed by the school, and that moves forward with you as a part of your permanent record. They are certified classes. Your grades are certified. They are official grades from the school. These are the things that will go to your colleges or go to a school if you were to transfer, those types of things. An unofficial transcript has the same information. It just isn't signed and sealed. It's a copy that you may get to look at your freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior year. It's a copy that your parents might request just to learn about where you are and what your current GPA actually is. So that's the difference in those two. You hear lots of things about weighted and unweighted scores, and what does that mean? Very simple. Weighted scores, weighted grades, weighted averages are those averages that include your honors courses and your advanced placement courses. Unweighted are your standard college preparatory courses. And we'll just take a quick course for an example. Say you're in an English course. We call those American literature, world literature, things like that. But if you're taking a world literature course as a standard course, your freshman year, then that course is going to have a specific GPA associated with it. Let's say that on a 5.0 scale, you're going to hear those terms too. We'll explain those in just a moment. But on a 5.0 scale, that standard course is a 96, so you'd have a 4.6 in that class. If you take that and it's an honors course, you get 0.3 points higher. So you could have a 96 as a standard course, which is a 4.6, but a 96 in an honors course then becomes a 4.9. So it gets 0.3 points higher. If you're taking a course that is an advanced placement course, an AP course, it's 0.5 points higher. So that 96 in a standard class would, in an AP class, become a 5.1 because you're getting 0.5 points higher on that. So that explains a little bit about what a weighted and an unweighted course is.
And Ms. Benfield, that is how a student can have over a 5.0
That's
GPA.
Exactly how a student can have over a 5.0. If you're in a honors or advanced placement course, you're going to get, you know, 0.1 higher, 0.3 if you're honors, 0.5 if you're in an AP course. So that's how, you know, often it translates to a higher GPA. GPA, we've referred to that several times in our conversation today. GPA is a grade point average, and you hear things about a cumulative grade point average and a yearly grade point average. Every year, all of your core courses are going to be averaged together to give you your GPA. Those core courses, Mrs. Bullock, do you want to talk about those core courses today?
Sure. We give credit toward the GPA for certain classes. And I think it makes sense to a lot of people. Those are what we call our core courses. Anything in the humanities, our English, foreign language, history, science and maths as well.
Foreign language.
Mm-hmm. And then we don't give that same academic credit to the GPA through our electives, any fine arts or sports. You get credit on your transcript, and it shows the picture of what how you use your time in high school. We certainly value those more elective courses, but they don't go toward the GPA.
Absolutely. They go towards your qualifying points.
Sure.
And your qualifying points are those points or those credits that you have to graduate,
right.
But they do not go towards your GPA. So we talked about a yearly GPA. Every single year, your core courses are going to be averaged together to give you your GPA. And then from year to year, you're going to have a cumulative average. So beginning in your sophomore year, your 10th grade year, you're going to have a cumulative average. That's going to be your 9th and 10th grade year average together. And then the same thing happens with your junior year, your 9th, 10th, and 11th grade years are averaged together. And then finally, the culmination of your grades in your senior year are all 4 years will then give you your cumulative final GPA.
That's awesome. And you see, in my job, in my office, I'm meeting with juniors right now, and we're circling on the transcript where the cumulative GPA is going to go at the end of this year. And that's the GPA they use to apply to college with. So it's kind of, it happens pretty quickly once we get going on how we use the transcript in our work here.
Great. And that also leads us to another question. What can a school certify on a transcript? What am I able as the registrar to put on a transcript?
Right. How do you deal with transfers?
Absolutely. Good question. So let's say a student comes in and begins their junior year with Veritas. What as a registrar I will do is actually look at the courses that you've taken from your previous school, and those courses that you've taken from your previous school will be credited, brought in as quality points and GPA points for each year. Like your freshman year, I'll look at all the courses that you've taken. If there's any question about those courses, then I may have to call back to the school and get curriculum guides, information, information just based on what you took to find out whether or not that's a course that we would actually bring in and give core credit for. So there's often situations where we'll have to call because we have to be able to put those on our transcript. We, however, can't certify those courses. So when it comes time, your junior year, when you're applying for school, we're going to certify those courses that you took as a student at Veritas. I can verify those grades. I can certify those grades that you took. However, the grades that you've received from the schools, the ones that you bring, the courses that you bring to transfer in, those courses will show up on your transcript, but they'll show up with an asterisk there that says that they've been transferred from another school. that school is the only school that can certify them on a transcript. So when it comes time to apply for schools, you will have to request a transcript from that school to go to the college of your choice that you're going to apply to. You may be applying to several different schools. You'll have to get that transcript to accompany Veritas's transcript as you're applying for schools, because they're going to be, the colleges are going to be looking at a official transcript where another school has certified those grades. So that is the difference.
And it's not uncommon. It's not something that sounds complicated, but colleges are used to seeing transcripts with transfer students.
So absolutely. They've seen that a lot.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So when a student has a transcript with many asterisks, we will make sure that they have that information as they're applying to college.
And although that can sound confusing, you know, there's different information on your transcript. We are really pleased about the fact that our transcripts are some of the easiest to read. We've heard that from several colleges and universities. Ours is a very clear, very concise transcript that literally lists each course, what you made first semester, what you made second semester, your final grade, the credit earned, and then the GPA for that specific course. So it's very easy to read. And once again, we've had lots of compliments from colleges and universities about how easy it is to read our transcripts.
Right. I love it because we are proud of the transcript.
100%.
These kids don't know what they're getting in our transcripts, but they are beautiful and they are really, really easy to work with. And that is any way that we can smooth the process for students coming and leaving as they graduate. It's a really exciting thing to be able to do for them. So you can certify only Veritas grades.
Only Veritas grades. Only courses that are taken here where the grades have been issued by our faculty.
Right. Yes. That makes a lot of sense. And then, so I started with the freshman year of when I show them their blank transcript. And then in the sophomore year, I see them again. Well, I see them regularly, but I see them officially again when we go on the sophomore college trip. And there I give them their current transcript, which has those freshman year grades on it. And it usually has the first semester of their sophomore year on their transcript as well. And that's where we really make sure that everything's correct, right?
Exactly.
Because a lot of students, what are some other ways we use transcripts? Like, it's not just the college process. Sometimes kids ask you for transcripts when they're sophomores.
They do. Yeah. Lots of students are at that point in time building their resume. Building your resume at that age is important. And lots of volunteer opportunities, internship opportunities, summer camps often require your transcripts. And they want to see what courses you've taken, what grades you have. There's often a specific GPA you have to even apply for those. Right. So that's sophomore year. Transcripts become very important. It's the first time students are going to see them. So it's very important for students to look over that transcript to make certain that all of their information is correct, their address, their social security numbers, birth dates, all of those things want to be correct, because one little mistake could be the difference in your transcript getting to the wrong place. I mean, if you're applying.
And anytime that anyone sees their transcript, the student or the parents, we want to make sure that all the coursework that they've done is listed. It rarely happens, but it's one of those opportunities we have anytime they see it to say, did you take all these classes? Are you taking enough sports participation credit to graduate? And all of the things, all the checks that we do all year, making sure that everybody's on top of this. So sophomore year really is just continuing to take classes that are challenging. That's a big thing we talk about in my department and the registrar's office, and make sure that they're doing well. Because as we go, we point them towards the next year every year. Sophomore year, we're looking at junior year. Junior year, we start looking at senior year. But really, the moment that is the crux in the high school career is the end of junior year, that GPA. That is it, right? And so often, right at the very beginning of senior year, we hand them out again and say, here you go. Take this cumulative GPA and apply to college. And it's a usually exciting moment for all of our students to have that and to move into the college process. So the story, though, that I think is really helpful for families to understand a little bit of the college process is, the transcript is super valuable to a college for them to see what a student took and how well they did. But it isn't the only thing. They're often judged against what they could have taken, right? So they look at the school profile. They see all the courses we offer, which is another thing that Mrs. Bedfield is very involved in, is the school profile and all the, sure, the numbers of AP courses and numbers of honors courses that we offer here. So they take the school profile and they have your transcript. And then they have the rest of the supporting documentation, your recommendation letters, your essays, information from any recommender that might be outside the academic realm. And they use that to kind of figure out who you are. So the transcript there is part of that kind of trifecta of school profile, transcript, and the rest of the documents of a school really seeing how a student has spent their time and what they did in their high school career.
It is. It's important. And you may hear the term building a transcript. What are you doing to build that transcript? I mean, it's important. We're not asking you to know what you're going to major in or what college you're going to choose, but you do need to be investigating. And sophomore year, that's why we do a college trip your sophomore year. So you can go and you can look and you can see what types of majors are out there, what kind of things you're interested in. And, you know, if it's a college that you're looking to get into that's highly competitive, did you build your transcript that way? Did you take the courses that are the most academically challenging so that you are competitive in the field of applying?
Right.
So that's something that's important as well.
I was actually just part of a mock interview or mock admissions committee, and we had a transcript in front of us, and the student and the rest of their documentation said that they really wanted to go into engineering, and they had AP calculus and AP physics, I think was what we ended up saying, at their school, but they didn't take them. And that student in this mock setting didn't get into the engineering program because the idea was, well, if you really want to be an engineer, you would have taken these classes, right? So that mock, you know, this fake student hadn't built the transcript to get them there. Now, that's not to say that one of our students couldn't make an effort in a different area to get themselves into a program they really want, but it might just be a slightly more difficult route. So that is why we have all this one-on-one with our students here, because it gives them the opportunity to really tell us what you're interested in, and we'll try to help guide you into what you need to be taking and how you can challenge yourself.
That's right. We have opportunities for you to meet with a college counselor again, freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year, and by appointment at any time. We also have registration nights, pre-registration nights for high school. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you to meet with the faculty, to meet with me as the registrar, to meet with Mrs. Bullock, and to talk with us about what courses you should register for the next year, what you're looking at doing. And again, if you don't have an idea of what exactly it is that you'd like to apply for, you can still build your transcript. You can still take challenging courses and do the best you can to make your transcript fit into most programs, even if you're taking just general things, taking honors courses, taking AP courses, and things that you're interested in. Maybe you're not as interested in taking AP literature, but you know, sciences and math are your thing. So you're going to be taking, you know, the highest level you can take in those courses and really working towards doing well in those. So build your transcript for you.
Exactly. And, you know, my repetitive, my repetitive phrase to the students is often just make decisions now that give yourself options later. So just create options. And that generally seems to work well for our student population. The other thing, you know, that I actually need more information on, Mrs. Benfield, is our student athletes. What does it look like for a student athlete in our high school who maybe wants to play sports in college?
It's very interesting because there are so many new trends today, and reclassifying is one we hear frequently.
Right.
We hear that one a lot about students who are going to come in to reclassify. The collegiate world of sports is a whole different beast. It's a whole different thing. So what I want to share today, barely hit the tip of the iceberg on this because it can be confusing, and it really is specific to students. So let's talk about what happens if a student is interested in playing a collegiate sport. Students who are interested in going on to do that Division I, Division II, Division III, any division, are going to have to go through a collegiate athletic association. And there's the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association. There's the NAIA, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletes. There's NJCAA, which is the National Junior College Athletic Association. There's several different clearinghouses that actually certify you to be able to play sports at the collegiate level. The colleges aren't able to do that. That's what these clearinghouses do. And what they've established is that they will take your first 8 semesters of high school. So if you're reclassifying to better your grades or to, a lot of folks use the term that they'd like to develop more in the sport, they'd like that extra year to develop more. We hear that very frequently. Understand. It can take you 5 years, 6 years to graduate from high school. That's okay. You can reclassify. However, these clearinghouses, these collegiate athletic associations will only take your first consecutive 8 semesters of high school. So that can be quite confusing because they only give credit for freshman English one time. Mm-hmm. They're only going to give you credit for Algebra 1 one time. So if you're repeating courses as a reclassifying student, often you can get in trouble with having enough credits to graduate according to what these collegiate athletic associations say. So we are very careful when new students come in or when student athletes, even at Veritas, choose to reclassify. We're super careful. We meet with the parents. We meet with the students. We meet with Mrs. Bullock. We talk about these things at length, and we set up your plan for the remainder of your high school career with a clear transcript of what you're going to get to give to these athletic associations and how that's going to work with you. You can't forget a year. So you can't just simply pretend your sophomore year didn't exist because they're going to notice a year gap in your high school career and they're going to want to know what happened there. So that doesn't happen. You have to take those first 8 consecutive semesters of high school.
And that's all in your purview as the registrar. So if families have questions, you're the person.
I would be the person that they would want to come and talk to so we can sit down and see what that looks like together.
Yeah.
So let me explain, number one, why we use a 5.0. It's a very pure scale. Every single grade has a GPA associated with it. So if you've got a 100, you have a 5.0. If you have a 99, you have a 4.9, a 98, a 4.8. It's just a very clear, concise, pure scale. We've heard rumor. Mm-hmm. We're not certain about that, but we've heard rumor that the College Board is going to switch to a 5.0 scale and that will be the new accepted scale. I'm not certain. But what we do is we use our 5.0 scale. We give a copy of that to your college. It's on the back of your transcript when we send it. However, they may, at that point, translate your GPA on the 5.0 scale to a 4.0 scale. So don't let that surprise you. Talk with them about that. Be very clear with your admissions counselors at the schools that you're applying to so that you're very clear, because scholarships at those schools are based on their scale, not our scale. So that's often confusing because parents are like, well, my kid didn't get the scholarship and they had a 4.8, but that could transfer to something completely different at the collegiate level if they're doing it on a 4.0 scale. So don't let that be confusing. And then we'll help you with that. I can't give a college a 4.0 scale and say this is what they need to take on it. They're going to translate that themselves. But I can configure that for you and let you know if you would potentially be eligible, sure, if you should even apply for that kind of scholarship, that kind of thing. Anything else you'd like to add on that?
No, I think that's a really helpful reminder. I think that they're that if anybody had any more questions, you're available. I'm available.
I was going to say. That's one of the biggest benefits at Veritas is you have access to Mrs. Bullock on a daily basis, pretty much. You can make an appointment with her. You can catch her in the hall. Same thing, my office hours, every day. I'm here every day, and students are often, kind of popping their head in or talking to us. And that's one of the benefits that you have being at Veritas is you have access to a college counselor. You have access to a registrar. You're not just a number. You're valuable. We are as excited about your getting into college as you are about going. So it's very important to us to package you well and to do the best we can to make it clear what your transcript says so that you can explain yourself, so that you can build your resume from this, and you can apply to the schools that best suit you.
Absolutely. And it really is just the sub-context of all the things we hope for students outside of grades and academic success. It's still that push towards goodness, truth, and beauty.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Mrs. Binfield and Mrs. Bullock. Veritas, be on the lookout for future podcasts. If you have something that you'd like to hear discussed, please feel free to send it to cprits, that's CPRITZ, at veritasnc.org. We hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks for tuning in.